5. Also Joshua chapter 1, Psalm 85, then Joshua chapter 1. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. Last Wednesday in youth, we had a mighty good service. Just the Lord really poured out His Spirit, and we hadn't had a move of God like that back in youth for several weeks, and we've been needing it. And they responded to the moving of the Lord, and so I'm just excited about that. And then spilled on over into Sunday, and Pastor just blew this place apart on Sunday, both services, amen. And just the Lord was here, amen. And I'm expecting the same thing this week in revival, tonight, tomorrow, Friday, and Sunday. Now, what we need to do is just focus on God right here and right now, and hear from Him, and just open our hearts to Him. And whatever God urges you to do in this service, obey Him, okay? Obey Him. If He urges you to get down to the front and pray, get down to the front and pray, even before the preacher asks you to. If He urges you to run around or march around the church, do it. Praise the Lord. We're allowed to move. We're Pentecostal. So, all right. Psalm 85, number 6, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Why don't you say that with me? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Praise the Lord. And then Joshua chapter 1. Verse 11, start in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you with the Lord's help about revival. We're almost there. Revival, we're almost there. Will you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for the unction, Lord, that you've given us tonight. And I pray you'll help us just to feel your Spirit, God, throughout this message, throughout this altar service. I pray you would just anoint Pastor and I as we preach, God. Lord, I pray you'd anoint our hearts to receive your word. May my words be few and yours many. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit that's moving. Thank you for how you poured into our lives on Sunday. And God, we pray our hearts be open to you. Lord, let us build on what you're doing. God, help us to build on it. In your name we pray. We love you, Jesus. And everyone said amen. All right, you can be seated. Wilt thou not revive us again? No doubt this phrase has been preached on thousands of times, and no doubt it's been prayed by many men and women millions of times, I'm sure. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? I know I've prayed that. Have you prayed that? I've prayed it many a times. Now the psalmist here, he captures the cries of many hearts with this phrase of just six little words. I'm telling you, moms have laid in their beds at night praying for their lost children to find revival, and saying, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? I know there's been fathers who have spent hours on their knees praying for their homes to have revival, crying out, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? And this cry was on their lips and in their hearts. Now, the term revive or revival, it means to cause, to live, or to bring back to, or restore to life. This implies then that there has been something pronounced dead. If something was alive at one time and it needs reviving, that means it's dead, right? Something has been pronounced dead. And we know here that the psalmist, as he's writing this passage, he's not physically dead because he's able to write and say, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? So that shows us that there's something missing inside of his heart, or inside of the hearts of the people for whom he is writing, that once was there. Or there is something that once was alive and flourishing and volatile, that now it is dead and it's gone. Now the physical man is still there, and the physical man, you reach over and pinch your neighbor, don't really do it, but they're still here. The physical man is still here, but sometimes there's something wrong with the spiritual man inside of us. And that was the situation with this group in Psalms. There was something inside of them that was crying out for revival. Amen. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? Maybe it was their joy that was dead because they had been been in exile and because they wanted to be together with their families. And so their joy, their spiritual joy had died. Or maybe their spiritual experience was waning and their experience with God was growing weaker as a result of their laxing in that area, in that department of their lives. But whatever it is, something that had been quickened by God at one time or another had been left to die by these people. And the psalmist cries out, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Praise the Lord. I imagine their situation is a lot like yours and mine sometimes. You know, we get a good blessing from the Lord. He begins to bring life into our souls and into our lives. And we begin to grow in Him. I love those seasons of growth, don't you? I really do. Do you love them? Amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. But sadly, oftentimes we get a little stale and stagnant. You ever been there? I have. At youth camp, we get a hold of it, praise God. But by September, it's gone. In revival, we receive it, but the next week, we let it go. One Sunday night or Sunday morning, we make our way to the altar and we cry a few tears, and God touches us. Praise the Lord for that. I love those experiences. But sometimes, quickly, we allow ourselves to go into a spiritual coma, if you will. We're spiritually in a state of being dead. Amen. And we need a revival, praise God, until something happens, praise the Lord, in our lives where we realize in our hearts we need Him to move again and breathe again within us, praise God. And so I cry out tonight, oh God, wilt thou not revive us again, praise the Lord. Three things about that passage before we get into Joshua. Apparently, this revival's happened before in this man's life. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? God, I've experienced revival before, but I need it now. Praise the Lord. Another thing, the psalmist, not only does he know what's happened before, but he knows who he can call on for it to happen again. Praise the Lord. He calls out to God, and he doesn't just call out for himself, but he calls out for a community revival. Praise the Lord. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now that first point shows how awesome and unceasing grace and mercy of the Lord is. I mean, even though we've been inconsistent at times, God's always been there to prod us in the right direction. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even though there's been times when we let go of the things that we grabbed a hold of at these altars. Amen. God's always been there to kind of give us a little nudge in the right direction. Praise the Lord. And it's amazing how great the Father's love is for us and how unconditional it is. And I'm thankful for it. I mean, in the dry seasons of our life, He keeps us while we walk with Him. He's still there even in the journeys through the wilderness. Aren't you glad about that? Praise the Lord. But I know you've seen it. I know you have when the seasons of the Holy Ghost outpourings in your life, they're followed by a lack of spiritual fervency. But there's still those seasons when God is active in our lives. Amen. Even when the fire in my heart has been waning and growing dim, I know there's a God who's up in heaven fanning the flame. Praise the Lord. Trying to get me burning again. Amen. I'm so glad He does that in the psalmist. The psalmist knows that God was there when he was cold and when it was dark in his life. And that's why he cries out to God, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? You know, he cries out to God because God has been there. And he cries out to God because God's the only one who can bring revival. He's the only one who can bring life where there's death. Amen. The valley of dry bones. It was His breath that gave life to those bones. Amen. When Adam was formed out of the dust, it was His breath that gave life. And if in this revival you're going to have an experience with God, it's going to be because He breathed on your heart and in your life. Praise the Lord. Now the writer's not only crying out for an individual revival, but he's crying out for a revival among the people. Praise the Lord. And I know that God wants to pour out His blessings and His Spirit into each one of us tonight. I don't believe He just wants to pour it out on me. And I'm crying out for revival, but I've been crying out for revival across this whole church. Amen. I've been crying out and asking the Lord, God, pour out Your Spirit in a church-wide manner. You know, I want whatever was flowing into your hearts on Sunday night to overflow into somebody else. Amen. I've been seeking God. I'll tell you something. I've been seeking God for Hannah to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When she's only 5 years old, I wanted to have an experience with God. Amen. I've been praying today, Lord, let that Spirit that made all these young girls shout on Sunday spill over into her heart this week. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see our church have revival. Amen. Hallelujah. And I feel like we're just about there. Amen. I feel like we are. We're on the threshold of reaping some of the great blessings of divine favor from the Lord. Amen. We're on the threshold of reaping. And there's a good story in the Bible that illustrates how a people can be on the threshold of reaping the blessings of the Lord. Now look at Joshua 1 verse 11 with me again. Joshua says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, or prepare some food, get your lunch ready. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Praise the Lord. I read that today and I got a little excited. Amen. I mean, I just got a little bit happy in my soul, Brother Jones, thinking about there's a possession that we are about to have. Amen. There's a revival that we're about to possess here at Broadway Assembly. Amen. Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this verse is dealing with Israel getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And I know there's been a lot of songs that talk about crossing the chilly Jordan to go to heaven and that it's death. But I don't believe that the Promised Land represents heaven. I believe more so it represents the life of a Christian as we have the favor of God. Praise the Lord. I believe it's the life that God wants us to enjoy as we walk with Him down here. God doesn't want us to journey like we don't have any place to go. Oh, amen. He wants us to journey with a purpose. Hallelujah. With a blessing. Amen. And now, some of this is going to be a retread of Wednesday night. So some of you youth get behind me because you probably know what's coming. But I felt this on my heart. Couldn't get away from it. Amen. Israel here is at the threshold of the great promise that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been given. They're closer to the place of prominence and favor that God has led them to for 40 years. Amen. I mean, God, 40 years prior to this, they had almost entered into the promised land. But because of their faith, that grew dark and dim in their lives, and they disobeyed God and they didn't believe in His promise. They had to be banished to the wilderness for 40 years. But now here they come. It's time to get over to the other side. They're on the threshold of something better that God had in store. Praise God. But before they could go in, they had to do a few things. And I'm going to tell you just real briefly tonight. One, we got to prepare for revival. Two, we got to pursue revival. And three, if we do those things, we're going to possess revival. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before they could enter the promised land, they had to prepare themselves. Preparing for revival. Before we can have revival, we had to do some things. And it was during this preparation stage that God began to speak some great promises into Joshua's life. And you can read it for yourself in Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 through 9. I'll just tell you what they say. Every place he stepped on, he would conquer. That's what God told him. God said, I'll be with you every step of the way. Praise the Lord for that promise. He said, you'll be able to live to see the land divided among the tribes. Amen. That meant he was going to have longevity in that place. Praise the Lord. He said, if you obey me, Joshua, you'll prosper and have good success. And I'll be there to strengthen you and give you courage. Those are some mighty good promises, aren't they? Praise the Lord. And after receiving these promises, Joshua, he goes to the people and he says, get ready. Prepare yourselves. We're getting ready to go to a better place. Praise the Lord. Now we've already received the promise of God in the form of His Word and in the preaching and in tongues and interpretation that we've been hearing around here lately. God's been telling us if we'll seek Him, we will find Him. If we'll search for Him, He will be found. Praise the Lord. He's given us a promise. And now it's time for us to prepare for revival. Part of their preparation was to set up a surveillance system. Not with cameras, but they were going to have to keep watch for the priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant. Praise the Lord. And when they began to move with that Ark of the Covenant, those people were going to follow that Ark. Amen. Amen. They were going to follow the presence of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but the presence of God was sure moving on me. Amen. On Sunday night and Sunday morning, and God was moving. And I want to get in behind that and follow Him. Praise the Lord. I want to get in behind that. I'm watching, man. I'm ready. I'm watching that. Praise the Lord. You better get ready and be watching. Amen. Now, another thing they had to do was follow instructions. Joshua said, don't follow too close. Because if you do, you won't be able to see where the ark is. You need to keep your distance so you can watch where all the priests are. are going, because this is a new place. You've never been here. You've never been to this experience before. Just follow these instructions. You know, God gave us some instructions for revival in 2 Chronicles. Amen. He said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that he would hear. Praise God. Amen. He gave us some instructions that we need to follow. And lastly, they had to sanctify themselves before they can get into the promised land. I'm telling you, before we can have revival, there's got to be some sanctifying going on within our lives and in our hearts. The Bible said to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Or in other words, before we can pursue revival, we need to lay aside some things, amen, and tear some idols out in our lives, and get rid of some things and just begin to focus on what God has for us. But after they began to prepare, the ark began to move, and it was time for them to pursue the promised land. Amen. Oh, for 40 years, brother, they've been pursuing. Not really. For 40 years, they've been wandering in a circle, just waiting for God to open the door for them to get into the promised land. Amen. And I don't know where you've been the last few days of your life. You may have been wandering around waiting for God to pour out His Spirit, waiting for God to rend the heavens and pour out a blessing. Let me tell you, it's about time for the Lord, amen, to open up the floodgates of heaven and let His Spirit rain down on us, amen. But we got to pursue that revival. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I'm taking so long, amen. Pursue revival. We can't just stop at the first part of preparation. We need to get engulfed in revival, amen. We need to get engulfed by pursuing after it. Involved in this stage was several things. Hallelujah. One thing, they had to count the cost. Amen. They had to count the cost. Is it worth it? Joshua, is it worth it for us to go over there? Is it worth it for us to go over there? I mean, there was a great barrier between them and the promised land. It was the Jordan River. It was a great barrier between them and what God had for them. Now, the Jordan at this time of the year was overflowing its banks to the point where it was about a mile wide. Amen. That's a big river, isn't it? I mean, that's a mile. A mile. Y'all ever walked a mile? You can get tired walking a mile. Seth, you got tired running the quarter of a mile the other day. Seth's van broke down back here. And I mean, he ran all the way to prayer meeting because he had a word from the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And it was cold too outside Saturday morning. Amen. But you get tired. That was a mile. I couldn't imagine swimming a mile. That thing was a mile wide. That's a big barrier, isn't it? Not only was it a mile wide, but that was a wild and rushing river. It flowed downhill with great speed and precision. The rapids were almost impossible to navigate by boat, and it was definitely impossible to cross that river by fording. You didn't know how deep it was, and the water, the current would just carry you away. But God had these people right where He wanted them. Amen. God had them right where He wanted them. He wanted them to cross at that deep part and that wide part. Amen. Because God was getting ready to do some amazing things in His life. And He chose the priests to lead the way. Praise the Lord. He said, Joshua, get those priests ready. Tell them to get the Ark of the Covenant up and to step into that Jordan River. I imagine that those priests probably thought, man, what if I get swept away and I drop the Ark and I drown and I die? Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? I mean, they had to count the cost. And you know, that's what I preached to them in youth last week. I felt it. I felt God so strong in my heart, Brother Jones. Tell him, hey guys, God is looking for some young men and women who will step into the Jordan and lead the way for us to cross over onto the other side. And man, when I told him, I want some of you to step up right now. It took him a little bit, but there came Daniel Martinez down to the altar leading the way. And then several young men and several young women began to flood the altars because they didn't want to just stay in the wilderness. They wanted a little bit more of what God had for them. They had to count the cost. They had to forget the past. And their past was fear. I mean, the people were a fearful people. That generation before them, they were afraid. That land's too hard. It's too rocky. There's too many giants in the land. There's no way we can get there. There's no way we can enter this place. They'll conquer us. We're afraid. We can't do it, even though God says. And it made them go straight into the wilderness. They feared it. And they had to forget that. This new generation had to forget the fear of their forefathers. And also they had to forget the wilderness. The wilderness had been good to them. I mean, I know it's 40 years wandering in the desert and hot, but every day God gave them manna every day. God gave them enough water. God gave them quail to eat. I mean, they've been blessed by the Lord even in the wilderness. But even though there was a blessing in the wilderness, there was a greater thing waiting over yonder. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, and I know these youth have heard it before, but they'll hear it again. There's a greater blessing waiting for you than you've ever had in your life. I feel it in my heart that God wants to pour out something into your soul like you've never experienced before. I'm not just saying that to say it and to stir your heart. I'm telling you what God spoke to me today. Amen. God's got something for you that you thought you could never experience. Amen. But God is waiting for us to pursue revival. And you know they had to move just beyond the table. Taste of the promised land. Oh, come on now. You know what it's like to have a taste. Sunday night was a taste, okay? Sunday night was a taste of what we can have. You know, it's like, it would be like, you know, those priests stepped in. I could see it happen in those waters. They began to separate, and we'll go back to there in a minute. But these people had to decide in their hearts, I'm not just going to step in the dry land where the Jordan was. I'm going to go all the way through, praise the Lord. I've seen it happen so many times where young people, even older people, man, they get a hold of God, something in youth camp or revival. And they're stepping in, praise the Lord, and they're raising their hands. They're shouting and speaking in tongues, and God is moving on their hearts. But 3 months later, they're back in the wilderness, amen. They're settling. They settled for just a taste, amen. But you know what? God wants to take you beyond that speaking in tongues experience. God wants to begin to use you in the gifts of the Spirit, amen. God wants to use you to change the situation in your home. He wants to use you to change your family. He wants to use you to change your workplace. He wants to use you to change your church. He wants to use you to change your Sunday school class. God wants to use you. Amen. Don't come in here and sit on your seat and say, oh, I got a blessing on Sunday. No, that's not why God poured His Spirit out to you. He did it so He could give you more tonight and more tomorrow and more on Friday. Friday and more on Sunday. You know why? Because He wants to use you. Hallelujah. Don't settle for just a taste of revival. 40 years ago, in this story, the people had settled for just a taste. Joshua and Caleb brought back some grapes, and it took 2 or 3, 4 men to carry that cluster of grapes. And they said, look at this land, what God has provided. And some of those people, they may have tasted them, and they scoffed at it. Oh, that's enough. We'll just stay right here where it's comfortable and safe. But I believe Joshua and Caleb, they never forgot what those grapes tasted like. Amen. And they're like, oh, I'm not settling for a taste. Hallelujah. I'm not settling for my taste. Amen. Joshua and Caleb, for 40 years, they were faithful to wander in the wilderness. You know why? Because they wanted the experience of the promised land more than anything in their lives. Hallelujah. And when you get to that place where you want revival in your heart more than anything, I promise to you, there's going to come a day when you're going to step foot into that Jordan River, and God's going to stop that river from flooding. He's going to make that land dry, amen. And you're going to be able to walk on across to possess the land. And after the preparation, and after the pursuit of revival, these people went over to the land. And even though they fought battles, and even though they met with resistance, and even though times got rough, they still enjoyed a great possession of a great promise that God had for their lives, amen. Because they weren't on the wilderness anymore. They were possessing God's promise. And I'm about done. We can possess revival. I said we can possess revival. I said we can possess revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. When they entered the promised land, it became their possession. And a few things happened. Right here, I want you to get this. The Lord spoke to Joshua. He said, Joshua, today the reproach from Egypt is going to be rolled off of you. Amen. I'm going to tell you what that means, because some of you are like, what does that mean? You know, it means, Joshua, all the taunting that the enemy's been doing in your face, all that Egypt's been saying behind your back and saying, see, Israel, they left us and they're going to die in the wilderness. Joshua, you can't lead these people. You're a failure. All you've been able to do is walk around for 40 years in the wilderness and not touch the promised land. They laughed at him. Those Egyptians scoffed at him. They were back in their home saying, ah, that God of those Israelites, he's nothing. They're just a bunch of hobos and idiots for trying to do that. I can't believe that they left us. And look, they're going to die in this heat. You know, I believe that Satan's been looking at you in the face and talking to you in your head and saying, you'll never amount to anything. God will never move on you again. You'll never do anything in the kingdom of God. You'll never make it to what God has for you. All you are is potential that'll never be realized. But I came with a word from heaven tonight. Amen. I came with a word from Jehovah that reproach is going to be lifted sometime this week from your life. Amen. Joshua, the reproach is going to be lifted. All what Satan's been trying to speak into your heart, God's got other plans. Amen. And if you'll hold on to Him, praise God, if you'll jump into this altar and you'll seek the face of God, God will pour out a blessing that you won't be able to contain, and you'll be able to laugh at the devil right in his face. Some of you young people, won't you listen to me? You've been struggling with things, but today that reproach is going to be lifted. Amen. This week that reproach is going to be lifted. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I've been afraid. This last 2 weeks I've been kind of afraid for myself. Because I felt the Lord like I never felt Him before in my life. And it makes me a little nervous. Because I'm afraid I won't be able to feel Him like this again. But you know, I was in my office today and I was praying. I was like, God, I don't want to go back. And the Lord told me, Kenneth, you got the victory. Amen. You're going to do something great. Hallelujah. And you know what? I got excited because I knew I don't have to make those same decisions. I don't have to get lazy in my spirit. I don't have to let the fire die. Amen. I can go forward in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And when they crossed over into the promised land, you know, God sent the manna one last time for them. This is another thing that happened. And the Bible says that no more manna fell from heaven again after that day, but they enjoyed the fruits of the land. Praise God. God said, hey, here's just a reminder what it was like, but I had something better for you all along. And they were enjoying revival all the days of their life. You know why? Because they went ahead and possessed the land and moved beyond the taste. And Joshua had a visitation from the Lord. And the Lord told him what to do about Jericho. And Joshua went up to Jericho. And Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And they marched around Jericho. Praise God. Amen. And those walls came tumbling down. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that Joshua told the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Praise God. Oh, tonight, the Lord's going to speak to your heart. I hope He does. And I hope you hear it. He's going to tell you, shout, for I've given you revival. Shout, you've been possessed this city. Shout, you've entered into the place that I've been preparing for you. Praise God. Why don't you stand and lift your hands to the Lord and thank Him for revival. Hallelujah.
Praise Him right now. The God is in